So somebody want to read that, John 16, 27 through 32.
For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again I leave the world, and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee? By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me.
Father, as we look into the Word tonight, Lord, we just pray that your Spirit, again, we're trusting in your Spirit to break to us the bread of life, to each one what they have need of. Father, this is not something that's done in the natural, it's supernatural. Lord, we believe in the power of your Spirit to do things that we cannot do ourselves. We do live by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. You want to speak to your children. You want to show us the things that we need to see. And Lord, we need to take your word seriously. And so we know too that we have an adversary who goes about as a roaring lion. And we know that he's ready to steal the word. He's ready also to confuse it, to turn it, to twist it, as we see in the scriptures. That they took what Paul had spoken and written, and they twisted it to their own destruction. It wasn't Paul's fault. It was Satan who was doing it. And God, you have given us your Holy Spirit to teach us the truth. And that truth makes us free. So God, we just ask for that tonight, and we're counting on that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Okay, so once again, as we said Sunday, now, that, you know, they in 27, for the Father himself loveth you because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world, go to the Father. And his disciples said unto him, Now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now we are sure that you know all things, and need not that any man should ask of you. By this we believe that you came forth from God. Jesus answered them, Oh, do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, and is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because my Father is ever with me. God looks on the heart. God knows the heart. Jesus was moved and directed by his Father through the Holy Spirit. And he knows our hearts. We don't know our hearts. Now, we think we know our hearts. That's a deception of it. But see, sin is always a deception. But when we know the truth, it takes away the deception. That's why it says in Hebrews, the word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It divides asunder soul and spirit, bones, joints, and marrow. And a discerner, it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. And sometimes, you know, in ourself, without the Spirit, we are no match for Satan, because he uses Scripture, but he twists it, and he misuses it. But the Spirit of God is the one who can keep us from biting on it, and shows us that this is not him. This is not what God is saying. This is what the enemy is saying. They really believe this. They really believe that they believed. Now, Jesus did say they believed, but see, and they did love him. But to what degree did they love him, and to what degree did they believe? We're believers. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe he rose again from the dead. We're saved by faith. We're saved by grace through faith, through believing in that grace. We believe what God said about his Son, so we're saved. So that's not the issue. The issue, though, is now I want to, you know, we each want to fulfill the call, the purpose, you know, the songs that we sang tonight. You know, I want to be all that you've called and chosen me to be. I want to fulfill your will and your purpose for my life. Amen? And so we've got to see that God has the way mapped out. We just have to humble ourselves and follow God and not lean onto our own understanding. When we become wise in our own eyes, we're opening ourselves to deception. He that standeth, he has one comment, has one thing to fear. He that standeth, take heed lest he fall. That's it. Yeah, take heed lest he fall. So we have to be sober, we have to be vigilant, because we have an adversary. He's good at what he does, and he knows us. He knows us from the time we were born. He knows us. We were born in sin, shame, and iniquity. And so he knows how to manipulate us. And so, but the truth comes to make us free. You shall know the truth shall make you free. King James, okay. Now, let's go to Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10.
The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings.
Okay. So, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, he's talking about the unregenerated heart. But we know that in the flesh dwelleth no good thing. So, we're still dealing with the old nature. And so, we're going to see it in the New Testament, but here we see it, you know, the heart is deceitful. In other words, it lies. It lies to us. It lied to the disciples. Oh, now we believe. Now we know. Well, you know something, but you don't know everything. And that's like Paul said, we know in part, we prophesy in part. And so, you know, and like he said in Corinthians, we can't, he says, I don't even judge myself. I can't judge myself. Because God is the one who looks at our heart. And he, and it's back to Hebrews chapter 4 again, that he, you know, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper, but it's because he sees everything in our heart, and he knows what we need. And so you couple that with James, where he says, you've received with meekness the engrafted word, it's able to save your soul. Now, in the ancient Jewish, the way their mind was, the heart is in the kidneys. It's the mind. You know, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So that's why out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's where the spirit is supposed to come out of. But see, this, these things the enemy has in us to try to muddy the waters and to sap and to choke the word so that it becomes unfruitful. Because the word has the ability to become fruitful. It'll overcome whatever is in there. It's quick, it's powerful, it's sharpening to a two-edged sword. But I got to receive it with meekness. Now, the thing with a proud person is they don't receive. They get to the place where they can't receive, because they have this in their mind that they know. But that's part of the deception. But God keeps telling us to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he'll lift you up. Thou ask, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. That's what happened with King Saul. He was humble to start out with, but then he starts to, once he becomes king for a while, then he does things that he thinks need to be done, and he isn't submitted to God anymore. He loses his kingdom. But David, who is a man after God's own heart, even though we know that he messed up, but still, you know, he always inquired of God, what shall I do? How shall I go up? Show up against him. How shall I go up against him? How shall I go up against him? He's always seeking God. And he was giving praises and glory to God. He was magnifying God. He was a man after God's own heart. And, you know, he's the one in Psalms 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Because he realized that the reason he sinned, every man had sinned when he's drawn away of his own lust. So it wasn't just that she was taking a bath, and if she wasn't taking a bath, he wouldn't have any problems. The problem wasn't her. The problem was his in his heart. Amen? Because Joseph, you know, that woman tried to seduce him, and he ran out of the house. So there's a difference here, and the difference is in the heart. And the difference is that Joseph had it in his heart. But David, who was a man after God's own heart, that was part of the his flesh. And that had not been subdued yet. But he gave in to it. And when we give in to sin, Romans 6, whoever you yield yourself to, that's whose servant you are. No, he's not talking to heathen. He's talking to Christians. So, and James, you know, well, we're not going to go there yet. Okay. So, it's God who searches the hearts. He searched the hearts. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? But I, the Lord, search the hearts. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. So, guard your heart, because out of it are the issues of life. Now, go over to Jeremiah 15. So, somebody read 15 through 20.
O Lord, thou knowest, remember me, and visit me, and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found, so I did eat them, and my words was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of my hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Will thou be altogether unto me as a liar and as waters that fail? Therefore thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me, and if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let thou return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. And I will make unto thee this people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible.
Okay, so here's Jeremiah, God's prophet for this hour. And God, you know, Jeremiah has been, you know, prophesying, and God's been using him. And now he's got a problem. And he comes to God, and first of all, he starts telling God everything, you know, remember me and visit me and revenge me and my persecutors. You know, I found your words and I ate them, you know, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I'm called by thy name, O God of hosts. I haven't sat in the seat of the mockers nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. So why do I have this problem? Why is my pain perpetual? Why is my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Will you be altogether in me as a liar and waters that fail? And here's one of these gut-punching punches. You know, he comes back with him. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, if you return, then I'll bring thee in again. Jeremiah didn't think he had left God. He thought God left him. Amen? Right? Therefore, thus saith, if you return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return. Satan, again, is always trying to plant things in us. If they're not already in there, he's trying to plant them in us. And we can't think, well, there's nothing there, so there's nothing there. It's there. Well, there might not be something there today, but he's going to try to put it in there, and he's going to keep trying to put seeds in us. You know, the enemy comes and sowed bad seeds into the good ground with where the good seeds were sown. And the only reason is to foil the crop so that, you know, the fruit is not abundant. And so God wants to, you know, to bring forth fruit. 30, 60, 100 fold. But see, these things, these little foxes spoil the grapes. So, we see this again, you know, that and here with Jeremiah. All right, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, 2 and 3. Well, you might as well go 1, 2, and 3.
For the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldest to keep his commandments or not. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and feed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy father know, that he may make thee known that man doeth not live by bread alone only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doeth man live.
Okay. So, you remember, verse 2, and thou shalt remember the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble you. Well, these were just slaves. I mean, they couldn't have any pride. Yeah. It doesn't matter if we're rich or poor. It doesn't matter who we are. There's pride. And to prove thee, and to know what was in thy heart. Now, again, God knows the heart. But they didn't know their heart. And so God let them go through some things. You know, he purposely took them through the wilderness. He purposely let David be chased by Saul for years, not just a week or two, but there was a reason. He was preparing David. Saul never went through that, and he didn't last. Now, we'll find a verse for that in a minute. Okay, he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. No, back to 2. To know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. So we don't... You don't know if somebody's going to be obedient unless they're put up against it. I know when I had a company and, you know, you go to hire somebody, and maybe Jeff has run into this too, you know, that people tell you all the good things. You know, we can do this and we can do that. And sometimes they could talk pretty good. And then the other thing is, sometimes they'll work really good for the first couple weeks, months. Sometimes it doesn't last that long. But it's like they have no endurance. And then they just... I remember this one kid. Guy, we were working on this roof down Hyman. It was high. And it was a big roof. It was a complex, a government complex. And so he was working on this roof. So this, he says, I can get you some help. So he brought this guy. That guy was a good worker. And I said to him, I made sure I said to him before he left, I said, man, you're a good worker. You stick at it. I said, I give you a raise and everything, you know, but I learned that I can't do too much in the beginning because, anyway, he lasted a couple of days, and before the job was out, over, he was gone. I says, what happened to your friend? So, because he was just a young kid then, but he's a good worker. But anyway, we don't know what's in people's hearts. And sometimes they don't know what's in their heart. You know, they think they like this. You know, they want it. But then they can't stay. They just jump from here to there to here to here. And so it's God wanted them to see what was in their heart. And sometimes we have to go through things that brings them out. It brings it out of us. It reveals what's inside of us. Okay, he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. He fed thee with manna. Now, I don't care what you eat, but if you eat the same thing day in and day out, it gets old. Amen? I don't care if it is angel food, Kate. No matter what it is. My wife said to me the other day, you know, it seems to us, you know, we get hungry for a certain thing. We got these pistachio nuts. They were on sale for a couple weeks or months. Anyway, but we got them in. We had a couple packs, and now it's like we don't eat them like we used to. It's like, You know, you just sort of get filled up with it. You just get on to something else. Well, you know, God's fed them with manna to humble them. He wanted to humble them because he knows that if they're proud, he can't deal with them. He can't deal with them. If I regard iniquity in my heart, David said, the Lord will not what?
Hear me.
So it's important that the iniquity that's in my heart get out. But the thing of it is, I can't get it out if I don't know it's in there. And I won't know it's in there till I'm faced with something that will reveal it to me. Amen? Amen? You can't know you don't have it. You can't know if you have a temper or not unless something happens that it arouses it, that gives you an opportunity to display it. Okay? But I humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did your fathers know, that he might make thee know. Now he's teaching that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, of the Lord, doth man live. So he had to cause them to go through this place of eating the same thing over and over again, that they might come to the conclusion that, hey, food is food, but I need the word of the Lord. Amen? So we go back to David again. Let's go back there, 51. You know, Psalms 51. And man, we see here, you know, I see things deeper than I've seen them before. And then we're going to go to James. But right now, Psalms 51. Somebody read 1 through 10.
Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out all my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Okay. Praise God. So, according to your loving kindness, according to your multitude of your tender mercies, he's quoting Moses. You know, this is what God said to Moses, who he was. Okay, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And so he's not worried about what the people think. He's not worried about his reputation. Okay? But look at this. That thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. There's one thing, you know, it's like the older brother with a prodigal son, you know? I never spent your money with harlots. I always did what you told me to do. But, you know, he didn't have a relationship with his father. He didn't really have a loving relationship with his father. He was doing everything he was supposed to do by his duty, but he didn't know God. And so here David is, you know, he comes to this reality. A spoiled kid is a spoiled kid, and he has sometime during his life he's going to find out not everybody's going to spoil him, right? So against thee only have I sinned. That thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. God's looking at my heart. God's looking at your heart, man. He's looking at my motives. He's not just looking at what I do. People look at what we do. People look at our appearance. But God's looking at our hearts. Amen? Amen? Now look, we're going to stand before the presence of God, and there are what the thoughts of our heart are going to be, that's what's going to be judged. I'm the pastor, and I'm, you know, I don't want anybody to get up there and then find out that, you know, well, I did this and I did that, but what's your heart? We're going to see that in a minute. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Now look at this. And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. So it's God. It's just like it said here in the Deuteronomy. That he made them hunger so that he would make them know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So as they're going through these things, God is actually teaching them. God is using this to teach them, to reveal to them, because if they don't see it, if I don't see it, I can't repent of it. How can I repent of something I don't see? I can say, well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God, forgive me for all my sins, and that works for a while, but he's going to get specific with me. He's going to get specific. He has to. How can I repent of something if I don't know what I'm repenting of? I don't know, I got a problem. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Shall make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. How much more will the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse us from all filthiness, right? All ungodliness. But we have to apply it. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sin. Blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. And that's why it says in John, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Amen? Amen? Well, I need to know what it is. And my attitude, my heart. Let's go to James. James chapter 1. We could go to Malachi. It's all over the place. You rob God. Wherein have we robbed God? We've not robbed God. You rob God in your tithes and your offerings. And, you know, it's just all kinds of things that we think, people think they're okay and they're not okay. Many are going to say to me that day, Lord, we prophesied in the name, cast out devils. Be parfing work as liquid. I don't know you. Okay. James chapter 1, verse 1 through 6.
James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed.
Okay. You know, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers, you know, many temptations, different temptations, or trials, really. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work. When they were, like we read in Deuteronomy, when God led them through the wilderness, and they ran out of water, they ran out of food, you know, they ran into these trials, God knew they were going to have this trouble. But it was to show them that they needed to depend on God. It was to help them get to the place that when they got to the promised land, to enter into the promised land, they would know that God provided back here. God took care of this. God took care of that. But they never learned that. They were stubborn, rebellious, stiff-necked people. And they stayed that way. And they didn't ask God what to do. All they did was murmur and complain. Amen? So he says, James says, count it all joy. Now, why would you count it all joy? Think God likes to cause us to go through problems? That's not the idea. The idea is, it says about Jesus, he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. He didn't have an easy road. A lot of people rejected him. And of course we ended up with the cross. But it wasn't just that. Could you imagine? Well, I guess you could imagine, huh? We're starting to imagine it. We have the words of life, and we're looking at a world that is Brenda's prayer tonight. And you think, if you could just see what I see, if you would just hear what I can tell you, because we know the way of eternal life. Amen? Amen? But you can't make somebody see it. Amen? And then after they see it, sometimes it's like, after they get saved, and it's like, well, you shouldn't be shacked up with her, you should get married. Well, we don't think we have to. Well, you might not think you don't have to, but this says you have to. Amen? God says you have to. So they're not receiving the word of God with meekness. And so that word can't work in them. God's able to keep them from falling. God's able to get them. They think that that's the, oh, I can't do that. I mean, it's like, what's the big deal? You're living with her. What's a piece of paper? But somehow, some way, that's an obstacle. It's an obstacle because it's their heart condition. Amen? Amen? It isn't the piece of paper. It's the heart. I had one guy tell me, well, we're married, but not the way most people think of it. Not the way the law requires is what he meant. We just consider ourselves married. Well, you can consider yourself a butterfly, but you can make it fly. Man, but that's a deception that the enemy has. But see, if we let patience have her perfect work, you can be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Wow. And Peter, the trying of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though be tried with fire, might be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And you're thinking, I don't want that. I don't want patience. People even say that. I'm going to pray for patience. Well, you don't have to pray for it. It's in the package. Amen? But it's not an enemy. It's not an enemy. It's there to teach you. God wants to teach you. You got to be patient. Let patience have her perfect work. Sunday, I was going to play that tonight, but I couldn't get it up quick enough. But the prophecy. When we first started, and God started to get me to prophesy. Well, first it was in tongues. I was taught, which is true, I was taught that if somebody spoke in tongues, they're in the church or in a prayer meeting, that somebody should interpret it. So God would give me tongues, and nobody would interpret it. And I'd sit there. And one of these times, I remember one very clearly, one of the last times it happened. Anyway, it wasn't the last time it happened. But over in our house, got all these people there, and I had tongues, and I'm praying, Lord, give somebody the tongues. Give somebody the tongues. Because I wanted to see if it was real or not. Am I just excited? Or, is it just me? And we waited and waited and waited. And I was sweating. I mean, I was so, and then finally, I just quieted down, humbled myself, and God gave me the interpretation. And I told you this before, but anyway, got to bring it out. On the way out, this woman was going to the church that we went to. She was she was an older lady. She was one of the pillars of the church, and she was a very spiritual person. And she said to me, the Bible says, he that prays in his own tongue should pray that they interpret. So you need to pray that you interpret. Okay. But the other thing is, when we were, we'd have give the interpretation, and then we opened it up, and then people said, oh, that peace was so, oh, man, I could have sat there for hours, and I'm thinking, oh my, I had no peace at all. I didn't enjoy it at all. But it seemed like God did that to us. A lot of times in the meetings, we'd wait, and it happened to be me that would be the one on the hot seat. And it's like, oh God. And then Sunday, we're waiting for a prophecy, and nobody comes out with a prophecy. And I'm not feeling anything. And all of a sudden I start getting this, be still, know that I'm God. Just something like that. Just, okay. And a couple times I'm thinking, well, there's not going to be a prophecy, and I was going to just kneel down and just go on. And then God kept, he kept me. And then all of a sudden, still small voice. And I started. And when I start, and a lot of times it happens that way, you just start and then the rest of it comes. And then, nobody, it said something, I can't remember exactly how it is. You'll have to listen to it and get it on there, but our flesh doesn't like to wait. Don't like dead time, dead air time. Come on. We got to get on with this sermon. We got to get on with it. But he said he wants to give us precise words for particular people. Words that hit the nail on the head. I can remember that part of it. But precise times, precise places, precise people, precise words. God doesn't have to guess. God doesn't have to hit 10 things to hit the right one. God hits the nail on the head every time. So, but my spirit, see, that's one of my problems. And we're in James, so let's go here. Starting in chapter 3, verse 14. Chapter 3, verse 14 through 8. 4:8.
But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. The wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of the righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. From hence come wars and fightings among you. Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded.
Okay. So, now, again, he's talking to Christians. You have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but with earthly, sensual, devilish. So it's wisdom, it's a knowledge, but it's coming from the enemy. Now, again, remember, this is sin is deceitful, and so they don't recognize it as sin. They don't recognize it. They don't. It's hard to see it in yourself. Okay? But God wants to reveal it to me. God wants to reveal it to us. For where envy and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that's from above is pure and peaceable and gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Okay. So whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your own lust that war in your members? You lust, you have not, you kill, you desire to have, cannot obtain, yet you fight, you war, you have not because you ask not. You just don't ask. That's all it is. We need to ask for things. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss to make consumed upon your own lust. And then he calls them adulterers and adulteresses. You know that would get their attention. Amen? Because these are churchgoers. They're not heathen. Their thoughts are, the devil has them hoodwinked into thinking they're striving to get better, be better Christians. And they got this envying and jealousy. It's in their hearts. But again, if you don't know it's there, it's going to hinder your walk with God, but you don't know it's there. And they didn't know. So then he tells them, you know, he's telling them the truth. But then he gets down here, but God giveth more grace. In 6, he giveth more grace. Remember in the other translation it says, but the Spirit gives us grace to meet not only this evil tendency, but all others. The Spirit is able to keep you from falling. The Spirit is able. Yeah, and he gives us more and more grace. Power of the Holy Spirit to meet this evil tendency and all others fully. That is why he says God sets himself against the proud and the haughty. Because the proud and the haughty won't receive the word of God with meekness. Amen? Amen? God's your Father. Every good and perfect gift is coming from God. And that's why he humbled them in the wilderness, because so that they might know that they don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So I got to go through some things to get me humble enough to hear him speak to me. Amen? I gave the testimony before about that woman. You know, she said about her mother, you know, and then she asked mother to forgive her. And then she had another problem with her husband, trying to tell her husband to bring this woman in, and the pastor's wife. And so she went to the Lord again to find out, you know, why isn't my husband listening? And she says, because you have unforgiveness against your father. And she said, oh, no, I love my father. He was good to me. And all God did was stop talking to her. And that amazes me. That's where I want to get. Where if he stops talking to me, I know that I've got off the path. Amen? Amen? God says to her, what's wrong? So she says, oh, no. You know, right away, her flesh gets, oh, no, I love my father. She believed it. But in her heart, then she finally comes to the place, she said, well, if I did have something against my father, what would it be? And God told her, well, it's because he never stopped your mother from doing the things that she did. Well, then she saw it. Well, it took her 3 years to get through forgiving her mother, because God would show her different things that happened in her life that was buried inside of her, but he didn't show it to her all at once, but it was line upon line, precept upon precept. So anyway, as he showed her, she was obedient in going to her mother and saying, I forgive you, Mom, and I love you. That's what God told her to say. And she says, I did not feel like I loved her. Which I would think I would be, you know, we would think we're lying. But if God tells you to say it, okay, we're not copycats. We're followers of Jesus Christ. Okay. So your Father loves you. He's going to reveal things to you. He's going to reveal things to me. But I got to submit. I got to humble myself in the sight of the Lord. He will lift me up. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Listen to what God's saying. Just listen. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Listen. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God. I'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, your sinners. Purify your hearts, you double minded. But while we're here, let's go to James chapter 5. And it says this in 16. Confess your faults. Put that up in the Amplified. Because we know what the King James says. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins. And pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Well, it's not only spiritual healing, but it's physical healing too. I believe it. I believe. But confess your faults one to another. Your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins. Pray one for another that you may be healed. God told me this a couple weeks ago, and we haven't done it yet, I mentioned something the other Sunday, but maybe we'll do it the next Sunday. We don't have time right now. And believe me, I don't have to think very much. I'm going to confess something that I have a problem with. Okay. And I'm going to ask everybody else to confess something they have a problem with. We're not going to do that tonight, so. But, because that's what it says to do. Amen? Why do you think God would tell you to do that?
It takes away pride.
It's humbling, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's like washing other people's feet. You think it's bad to wash people's feet? It's more humbling to have somebody wash your feet. Someday we might do that too. We have to understand, as we're the family of God, none of us are perfect. We're in a journey. And God has placed us together, and God's given us different gifts to work together like an orchestra, and we're to play, and it brings beautiful music to God. It's spiritual worship to God, our lives. And so we got to get in tune with everybody's got to be in tune with one another, and we can't have this pride. See, and that's where that envy and jealousy and other stuff gets involved in. And if we had time, we would go back to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The end of chapter, we're not going to go there, but chapter 2, the end of chapter 2 into chapter 3. And you'd see, you know, he's talking to these Corinthians about, you know, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and he's entered the heart of man, and things that God has prepared for them that love him, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. And he says, you know, the Spirit searches the deep things, the things of God, yea, the deep things of God, and reveals them. Because the natural man can't receive the things of the Spirit, for their foolishness unto him. But God reveals them to us by his Spirit. And so, you know, and he ends up with, we have the mind of Christ. And so, said this Sunday, and I could just see myself sitting there, listening to guys preaching this, if I didn't know the rest of it, okay? And it's like, yeah, yes, sir, man, that's me. And Paul comes forth with, but you, I cannot talk to you as spiritual, for you're yet carnal. Whereas there's divisions among you. Ah! It's like, woo! You know, he's talking these things. It's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then all of a sudden, it's a shift. And he says, but I can't talk to you as in the spiritual. It's going. Read it yourself. See if you come up with the same thing. Go to Revelation chapter 2. We're going to finish with this. This is one of those things, the more I look into it, the more I see. And I wonder why I never seen it before like this. And I'll just read this. Chapter 2, verse 20. He's talking to Thyatira. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against you, because you suffer that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication. He's not writing to the bar down the street. He's writing to a church, right? And the first thing he said, well, I'm going to read verse 18. And unto the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know thy works, and love, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Wow. Here again, I'm starting to... Notwithstanding, I have a few things against you. Well... But you're suffering that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants. My servants. To seduce my servants. Wow. I would not want to be Jezebel. Amen? And I can't believe they named... She was, you know, that was actually her name, but spiritually probably. And seduce my servants to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. I gave her space to repent. That means he'd been convicting her of it. Amen? He wouldn't have said, I gave her space, if he wasn't trying to get a hold of her. Amen? But evidently, she had a good following, and so she became proud or something, and she wouldn't listen to that still small voice. Behold, I will cast her into bed with them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Again, he's still leaving the door, except they repent. If they repent, he'll clean them. He'll clean them up. Eh, right? Amen? Amen? There's always hope with God. It's just that we got to repent. And in order to repent, you got to see it. I will kill her children with death and all the church. Now look at this. and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts. We heard that tonight, didn't we? Jeremiah, hearts and reins. I will give unto every one of you according to your works. It's almost like he took it right out of Jeremiah, except he switched reins and hearts. You think Jesus misquoted that? I don't think so. Anyway, I'm not going to accuse him. I don't think so. I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Lord, we just come to you tonight, Lord. And Lord, you don't give us this word to in a sense scare us, in a sense of, but you give us the word in order for us to know the truth. That when we meet everything right, when we meet it in the right spirit, you can work it out together for good. Joseph being in prison, falsely accused, the word of the Lord tried him while he was there in that prison. But he didn't murmur or complain because it wasn't in his heart. And maybe there was some in the beginning. Maybe there was. I mean, you're good. When a person repents, you wipe it away, man. You take it away. But you lifted him up out of it. And it goes with the scripture. If we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, you lift us up. We don't have to lift ourselves up. We don't have to push ourselves. We're not here to sell ourselves. We're here to glorify you, Lord. We want to offer ourselves a living sacrifice unto you, which is our reasonable service, which is our spiritual worship. Change my heart, O God. You see our hearts. See if there be any wicked way in any of us, God. And we know, God, if you told us 10,000 things tonight, you won't do that. But if you did, there might be something left tomorrow. So we never get to the place where we don't humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord and allow you to lift us up. Because we need that grace. We need that grace. By grace I am saved through faith. It's not of myself. It is a gift of God. And by grace I stand. We all stand by that grace. We came this far by grace, and your grace is going to lead us home. And even when we're tempted, in Hebrews chapter 4, we come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You don't run from us. You don't run from us when we need help. You don't run from us when we're in trouble. But you run to us. And we're looking to you. God, we're looking to you. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in our spirits, in our souls, and in our bodies. Father, we ask it now and seal this word to us, God. May each of us apply it in our lives, Father, through the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, Amen.